Hi, guys. Welcome back.
Oh, I've missed you guys so
how was
much.
How was summer vacation?
Short, but good.
Did you go to the Steiner Lodge? Did you Marvelous Miss Maisel it and go to the Steiner Lodge? I can't believe I just used a Marvelous Miss Maisel reference.
Wow.
That show sucks. That show's so stupid. Wow. Yeah. How's Taco? Look at Taco over there. Like, you never left that couch.
I've been here the whole time.
He looks rested. Rested and ready.
Good. Yeah, I'm rested and ready. R&R.
Yeah?
I missed you guys.
What have you guys been doing?
You know, I didn't want to take a break, I'll be honest with you. But I'm glad we did. I needed it. Mm-hmm. I needed it. You know, a lot of personal stuff to get lined up and in place. It did as it is intended to do. It made me miss you guys in this show.
Well, I'm so missable.
Well, yeah, I missed Taco. I didn't want to have to say it, but you pushed. You kept pushing as you do.
I know.
Now, I'm glad. I'm ready to start thinking about festivals and music and next year and the show and all that stuff. So it was a good
break. You guys have a festival coming up this weekend with Moon River in Chattanooga. Yep. You got Camp, Judah and the Lion, Hozier, and some others in a picturesque park in Chattanooga. It's so well done. Yep. The AC guys absolutely destroy down there. And, you know, it's so easily accessible. It's easy to meander, and there's not a bad look in the entire place. Every stage sounds great. It's a well done operation.
Yeah, we'll get into that, but it reminds me, and that's what I've spent probably the last month or two since we took a break, how important these festivals have come to mean, or how important they've become for not just me but so many people, and how they've evolved. And this is a perfect example. You know, here we are, and Russ, you're, you know, down in Ringgold. You're not that far for people who don't know the area, but...
Okay, just dox me. Tell them my address, Barry.
Yeah, what's that...
Thanks.
Hey, by the way, Taco, I don't mean to go off course. What does that mean? I know this is old guy asking millennial words, but I don't know what that... I hear people say that all the time. I have no idea what that means.
Like when you just, you know, divulge personal information about somebody, like their phone number or where they live, or, you know.
He's been hanging out with those Ruham kids again. He's so up on all this stuff.
That's what DOX means?
Well, yeah, it's like short for documentation.
DOX is okay. Okay.
Well, all if I you said get was touch- Ringgold. If somebody can go to Ringgold and find Russ, you can have him.
Oh, well,
or you can text him. Or you can text him at 423. Or you can text him at 423-6.
Okay.
You can have him. Just give him back when you're done.
You can fax me. I'll accept faxes.
You can fax him. Yeah, he has no problem faxing.
But what I was going to say is, this festival sold out after about 4 or 5 days, so it hasn't gotten a lot of attention even locally. It's kind of snuck up. Am I right, Russ? I mean, nobody's talking about it because it's sold out. So,
yeah, I think they released a few more tickets this week just from like layaway plans that people didn't finish. But other than that, it's been sold out basically the entire time, and it sold out.
Barry, you know quickly. You know this from being a reporter for all that for decades. But what is the financial impact to the city for a 10,000 person festival? I know that 10,000 doesn't really make our eyes bug out of our head, but the financial impact for that kind of city has got to be massive.
I don't know the exact numbers. It's been so long. I mean, you know, they always, those always were questionable to me, but what do they figure? $100 a day per person, so 12,000 people. You know,
sure, but didn't you say that most of them were out-of-towners?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. It's been 55% are out-of-town people.
And,
so,
you know, there's no camping there, so that means everyone from out-of-town needs a hotel, Airbnb.
Mm.
Restaurants.
Mm. Restaurants.
Gas. Yeah, all of that. So it's big. And it's also, they get to see the city. That's been the biggest thing I've sort of focused on is, people are coming to see the music, and they're discovering, you know, that it's a pretty cool city. So, and most of them, from what I could tell, have never been here. Mm-hmm. So to your point, the impact is huge. So and that's why it's so, it's fascinating to me, because this thing came, it started in Memphis. Drew Holcomb started it in Memphis, and it outgrew the facility there, and they brought it here in 18 and sold out in seconds, seeming almost hours, literally, that first one. So it's sold out three of, what, five times?
With some really great lineups along the way, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here's the biggest point that I would make. It proved to a city that people would support a festival like this and spend over $100 a ticket. It's $125, $135, and go see, and people would travel to here. And that's huge. We were always sort of, well, we, you know, nobody wants to spend more than $20 a ticket kind of thing. And it just changed everything, to be honest.
Yeah, well, yeah, in that city specifically, because there's another festival that,
right,
that
we could get
said, well, nobody wants to spend more than $35. But the point that I think is really important, and you said it, is that it's such a great PR mechanism for the city. You've got cities around the country, you know, for instance, I'll give you a radio example. They'll give a radio company $1.5 million to put on a music festival like this, so that it's basically just a city funded PR operation. Those things are happening all over the country, to the point where, you know, radio companies are like, is this worth our time?
Right.
Then they see the $1 million check, like, yes, it is.
We'll talk. Call me.
It's a lot of work, but they do a really nice job with it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, that's what we're talking about. It's in a park that had never hosted a gated park. It's right on the river. Ticketed event. Never done it before. And the AC people at that time, AC Entertainment, now Live Nation, came in and did a walkthrough with the city. The city said, you know, you're going to kill our grass, you're going to kill our trees, you're going to kill everything. And they said, we'll replace them. We know what we're doing.
How dare you? Can't replace grass, can you?
And we're going to add lights into these trees, and we're going to improve this, and we're going to improve that, and we're going to build a water wheel and the entrance, and I mean, it's incredible. It truly is a beautiful setting. And the city said, okay, to their credit. And I give them full credit for that. They listened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could have said no and just been sticks in the mud. And they said, all right, let's do it. And it's been great. I mean, it's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite festivals, just because the venue is so great.
And outside of like one day of bad weather in the last 3 years, the weather is, I mean, pitch perfect every year.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, good. Well, that's for you guys coming up. And then I am going to go to a festival I've never been to in my life. I didn't go to Lollapalooza this year because I decided to spend my Chicago trip going to Riot Fest. So Riot Fest is middle of September in Douglas Park, a part of Chicago. I've got family that has lived in Chicago forever, and we go there three times a year. I've never been to Douglas Park. Postal Service and Death Cab, thank you. Twice in 1 week I get to see them. Foo Fighters again. The lineup for Riot Fest is, for me, oh, God, one of the better ones of the year. I'm really, really excited about this. So I'll have all kinds of stuff to bring back for you guys on that.
Wow, yeah, I'm looking at it. You're going to see The Cure with Mars Volta.
The Cure.
Oh, come on.
I know.
George Clinton.
I know.
Oh, Parr, you're going to see P-Funk. Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
it's a good one.
You know, hopefully
it's a really good one.
Coherent. That would be awesome.
What does it matter? You're not really. I'm not going there to see him Coherent.
Try it, Truth. Diaper Man won't be there, of course, but anytime you get see people.
It's like somebody coming to this show and trying to find Coherent. It's not happening. What are you trying to do?
Fair enough. Yeah, that's a good
yeah, it's a really good lineup, and it's exact. So the reason I wanted to go so bad is because of Death Cab and Postal Service doing their 20th anniversary, and I said to myself, just seeing MSG in New York is not enough. I need to see them as many times as humanly possible. Like, how many times am I going to be able to say this? This is a once in a lifetime opportunity of both celebrating their 20th anniversary and Ben doing both shows. Oh, I'm so excited. This 20-year-old emo kid in me is very, very excited.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'd be worth it just for The Cure for me.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Well, Chloe, I miss him every time.
Didn't she?
Really? I'd love to see her. I don't know. I did not know. Please hit me up. Let me know. The other piece of news we'll get to right here in a second. I want to talk about Jimmy Buffett and his history at Bonnaroo. We'll do that next on the What Podcast.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
So the news as we started to hit record today was that we woke up to Jimmy Buffett dying. I know this is a weird thing to say, but you kind of know you're getting old when you hear the news that 76-year-old Jimmy Buffett dies and you respond with, boy, so young. So young.
That
startled me. You are
100% correct. That's exactly my reaction. And I'm not a fan. I'll talk about that in a minute. There are two bands that I will turn off when I hear
come on, you're not a
Jimmy Buffett and Dave Matthews.
You're not a chicken panini in the Poconos, man?
No,
what's the song?
Anybody that knows me will tell you that. But when I heard that today, I was like, oh my, he's so young. Are you kidding? I mean, and talk about a guy who had the tiger by the tail.
Sure. I guess the part, it's not that he wasn't not young. I mean, he was 76, but he seemed so stressless,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, that's it. That was perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Talking about a guy who lived the dream. That's what I mean. Yeah. Wow.
Okay. So he had a history with Bonnaroo, and years ago, he was a late addition to a lineup. I mean, I think I might be overstating this a bit, but I feel like I was driving to Bonnaroo when they announced, Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reef Band is being added. And I remember saying to myself, how lame, but God, I'm really excited all at the same time, because this will be the only time that I'll be able to see Jimmy Buffett, even not being a fan. Look, I lived in St. Simon's Island with my parents transitioning from high school to college. So I had a free few months. So I went down and lived with my parents in St. Simon's. And I'll be honest with you. I spent that summer really liking Jimmy Buffett. There's just something about time and space where he makes so much sense. And, you know, you put on your loafers and you wear, you know, your goofy shorts and it feels right. I came back, you know, to town after that. I was like, well, what am I doing? What am I listening to?
So I had a huge crush on a girl in high school and she was a massive Jimmy Buffett fan. And I was such a putz that I hated him so much, I let that become between us. That's mm-hmm. how much I hated mm-hmm. him, right?
Very George Costanza of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I stood my ground against this guy.
Good for you.
I know. What a dummy. But yeah. But you nailed it. I'm pretty sure you're not wrong. He did the Thursday. He did a Thursday show in 2009 at Bonnaroo. And I'm with you. I think I was driving up there when we got word that he was going to perform. So he did a Thursday set. I mean, he would have been a headliner.
That doesn't, wait a second. I thought it was like a Friday afternoon.
I'm just looking it up.
For some reason, I thought it was a Friday afternoon because I've got a funny story about this.
Bonnaroo kicks off. He did, it was on the Witch stage.
It was the Witch. Yep.
Yeah. And what I remember is that he basically called and said, I want to play Bonnaroo.
He happened to be in Nashville.
I'm coming through the area. I want to play. And they said, Jimmy Buffett wants to play. We're going to make it mm-hmm. work. And they did. Mm-hmm. And so, it was Thursday.
I did not remember being Thursday. So this is the so I didn't realize until this moment Jimmy Buffett built Margaritaville as a sober man.
Yeah. Yes.
He's not he was never a drinker.
And he's been married to the same woman since what, 77, I think I saw today in his
own. The only thing that'd be more interesting is like if he was also vegan. You know, how can you say cheeseburger paradise it? But the man never tasted his own product. He lived in Margaritaville and never had drank a margarita. And so I don't know how I got word of that, but I watched him come into the media area / artist compound. And I just stopped dead in my tracks, and I said, oh, my God, there's Jimmy Buffett. We have to walk over to him. And he's by himself, and then his person comes over and hands and opens two land sharks.
Oh,
okay?
Right. I remember this.
And so he takes two land sharks and pours half of them out. So he's walking around now with two half-empty land sharks, okay? And so he purposefully walks through, takes the long way, purposefully walks through artist compound, through the media compound, and then back out. This is not the way to get to the witch stage. But he did this long loop just so he could get pictures with people along the way with two half-empty land sharks. And so, oh, yeah, I'll take a picture, sure. Then he'd pose with his land sharks. And I followed him from that moment all the way till he got to the witch stage. And I swear to God, my hand to God, he walked to the stage. Now everybody's gone. Nobody's around him but him and his guy. Takes it to land sharks, throws him in the trash. Talk about a master marketer. This guy knew every step of the way and never failed to live up to that lifestyle thing. He was the bit every time. I love that about him.
I mean, think about that. So 2009, Bonnaroo is 7 years old. Yeah, to your point, he's like, that's a cool event. I need to go be seen there. I need to go do a set. He did it. He crushed. My dislike for him is my issue. It's nothing on him. I knew that then. I know it now. You know, it's fun stuff. His band, he's like Dave Matthews. His band is great. You know, it's fun stuff.
Not only did he live this really laid back or seemingly laid back and stress free lifestyle, the man's in shape. He looks great for 76, right?
Yeah.
So if he can't make it, I'm screwed.
I hate to tell
Taco.
You. I hate to tell you this. None of us are getting out of this thing alive.
Yeah, I'm really screwed.
Yeah. No, but he was I don't know why this comes to my mind, but that show to me was very similar to the David Byrne show on the Witch stage in that it felt like it should have been bigger, but it felt perfect.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys were iconic in my world. Even I knew Jimmy Buffett was iconic. Mm-hmm. And to see him there was a moment that I was like, I'm going to go watch. I don't like this mm-hmm. guy, but I know I need to be
there.
I have to see it.
I feel the same
never
way
gonna
about
see him,
Springsteen.
You know, anywhere right. else. You're not going to buy
right.
a ticket.
That's right. That's right. I'm never going to go to Charleston, South Carolina to watch Jimmy Buffett, right? He's not coming to MSG, is my point. You know, like
Burn for me was huge, so I knew that was big, but it just felt like it should have been bigger for some people, but anyway, yeah.
I understand what you're saying. Like, I felt the same way about Springsteen. I was like, I'm never going to see this other than right here. The thing that at 17, 18 years old, I guess I didn't really sort of comprehend what the parrot head thing that I'll put it this way. I guess I didn't really understand the cult of personality when it came to bands just yet. I had not really figured out the fish tailgating thing and how the Grateful Dead people operated in the parking lots. Right. And I never really understood that. I never understood how, you know, like the sports tailgating thing translated to music until I started hearing Jimmy Buffett had this entire world created in and around the shows that were bigger than the actual shows. Wow. And I think that's where that started getting to me at 17. I was like, wait, you can have an entire universe of this that only exists in this space? And then the Grateful Dead stuff started hitting, and I was like, oh, now I get it. And that's what got me into Phish for a little while. And it's weird that, you know, the portals in which you get to places. I got to Jimmy Buffett. I got to Phish through Jimmy Buffett. Not the,
who can say that?
So did I.
I know.
That is such a great point. I mean, the Beatles and the Monkees would be similar, but they were so huge, that's not fair. Zappa had his own universe, but Buffett was maybe one of the first, now that you say it that way, that sort of had their own universe. And that's part of why I didn't like him, is because of all of my high school classmates, the ones that I liked but couldn't quite get into, loved it. And so I was that kid, you know, if it was popular, sure, I hated it. Mm-hmm. And so they were into it. But he created his own universe, and that's 100% true.
But the thing that got me is, and I know I'm typecasting a little bit here, and I know it's not one shoe fits all on this. It kind of felt like any Jimmy Buffett fan, any like diehard parrot head, I couldn't really get them to say anything else that they liked.
No, they were all BMW driving, boat owning, you know, rich kids.
And now you're starting to sound like Ric Flair. BMW driving.
I hated them. I'm telling you, it was my issue and not his and not theirs.
No, yeah, but like I use my uncle for example. Like, huge Jimmy Buffett fan. I mean, the biggest parrot head on the planet. I couldn't tell you another artist that this dude likes.
Jackson Browne, Dan Fogelberg.
Maybe.
Trust me, I know these people.
It's so funny that I don't care in what context. Anytime you say the name Dan Fogelberg, it's going to make me laugh. I don't know why.
And let me put a finer point on it. These are guys who iron their blue jeans. That's where.
Yeah, my man.
Got a crease in those blue jeans. And there ain't no reason you should ever iron blue jeans. Ever, ever, ever. But those are Dan Fogelberg fans.
Okay.
And you go from there to Buffett. So, and then you tell people, I like all kinds of music. That's the message.
Oh, I like everything.
No, you don't.
All right, here's Wu-Tang Clan. What do you think?
You don't.
Enjoy.
Hey, you should like leave a comment if you ironed your blue
like
jeans.
Buffett, and you might get a little crazy if Bob Seger's playing after you've had a beer or two.
You know, you're right, Bob Seger. But like the next artist, you say Dan Fogelberg and Jackson Browne, but I think that the next, like 1B from Parrothead Nation is Bob Seger, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's after two beers. Fogelberg is your glass of white wine. And then,
that's our starter. That's our starter. Hey, Taco, you gonna drink a Land Shark today and check it in just for Jimmy Buffett?
Maybe just for Jimmy, just today.
Yeah.
No, probably not.
We should. That's how we should rate Fogelberg and white wine and Seeger's two beers and a shot of whiskey.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it when you get really crazy? What are we, Willie? You go in Willie.
Well, that, you know, it was so when in the 70s, you know, what artist made smoking weed mainstream? Willie, Jimmy Buffett,
Journey.
Journey made a whole lifestyle about weed.
I'm just trying to think of those fans. If you got,
I don't know,
out,
I wasn't
you
alive yet. You tell me
yourself, it might have been Journey. Yeah, but that would just not the guys. That was the girls.
I know that there was other bands that made weed their personality, right? Of course, Grateful Dead, et cetera. But I'm talking about the people that you would never anticipate smoking weed, right? The middle-aged white guy who is so anti, who's wearing boat shoes, for Christ's sakes, was not the guy that I thought was going to be the weed smoker.
That was Buffett.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Buffett. Yeah, and they were, but they were very secretive about it.
Very secretive
about it.
Yeah, they're like my mother, who would cry when she found out that I have done the drugs. And then she comes to my house and she says, I bought your stepdad a little one hitter. What has just happened?
Mom.
This is the woman that was crying in the streets on Christmas Day, finding out that I was smoking the weed. Now yeah. She's buying one hitters. She's on the black market.
She's in there with her vodka listening to Buffett.
Yeah.
She's got a dealer.
Would love to be a chicken panini in the Poconos.
Yeah, those were the days. Listen,
I'm really sort of bummed out about it, to be honest with you, because I guess we've never talked about this on the show, but other than that 2009 show, I just always had this feeling that Buffett would find a way back, you know, in some form or fashion, find his way back to the farm, you know, in a weird mid afternoon Beach Boys slot.
I would add or maybe say it differently. He's one of the few that never went away. I can, in my opinion, he's been the same popular guy for what are we, 5 decades? You know, yeah. With his margarita.
Well, you're gonna say that about Fish in 15 years. You know, they're gonna still sell out everywhere they go, whenever they want.
Maybe.
Yeah, but don't you feel like Buffett is so regional? It's the Southeast, it's the Keys, and does anybody on the West Coast listen to Jimmy Buffett?
I don't know. My guess is yes. My guess.
Leave a comment if you really live on the West Coast and listen to Jimmy Buffett.
He's one.
Yeah,
of
it just
the
doesn't
few
sound like
guys.
Something I listen to in San Diego.
He's
yeah.
one of the few artists that has been able to dictate when and where he performs for as long as I've been alive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's strong. You know,
yeah,
name those
absolutely.
Acts, you know,
yeah.
The joke here in Chattanooga is, you know, if you want to fix whatever festival or venue, get Jimmy Buffett, and he ain't coming here. He's mad at Chattanooga for whatever reason. But I mean, I've heard that for 50 years. He's at the top of everybody's list, and always has been.
Who? Let's define everyone.
Everybody older. That's fair. Older.
Older than you.
40. 50, I mean, maybe 50. But he's been, if he were to, he's dead.
Okay,
now.
I am
he
over
can't.
40. Taco's over 40.
Yeah,
is he on top of your list, Taco?
That's fair. Man, I'm pulling a Brian Stone and generalizing. I'm saying everybody. But of people a certain age, he is the top 5 act that they would like to see. And that's rare. And he's been that way for a long, long time. So,
I mean, I still don't know if he's the top 5 artist I'd ever want to see.
Over 50.
It would really be time and place. Like if I happen to find myself, you know, in the Keys and there just happened to be a Jimmy Buffett show and somebody happened to drop a ticket in front of me instead of a dollar bill, maybe I'd go.
That's you and me, but I mean, I know people who made, you know, trips recently to see him. So that's all I'm saying. He has remained relevant to enough people that it matters for a long, long time.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, that's what I'm poorly trying to say. And there's not a lot of acts that, you know, do that, can say that. And I'm with you. 76 seems so young for him to pass away like that.
Well, let's be honest. 76 in Steven Tyler, not young.
Or
76 in Jimmy Buffett. Yeah, yeah, very young.
Yeah.
Keith Richards, very old, 76.
He got all of it.
Yeah, 76 is so contextual. Sure. Like, sure. In Jimmy Buffett world, like, let's put it this way. Me and my buddy, the Hester Cushion and intern Alex, we have this method of counting people's age based on how old they are in relation to Sammy Hagar. And he is only Hagar plus one. Sammy Hagar is 1 year younger than Jimmy Buffett. And the point is, like, Sammy looks 9,000 years old. Have you seen him recently? He is the most road hard dude I have ever seen. And yet he was just a year younger.
Yeah.
Than Jimmy Buffett.
That's good. Fair enough.
Yeah, the Hagar system. You know, we had the Hagar scale. Yeah,
the Hagar scale.
Yeah. He literally texted me this morning, Hagar plus one.
Wow.
I know. It really is a stunner. And it just reminds you, I mean, Barry, you're Hagar minus five, aren't you? You're 5 years younger than Hagar.
Actually 15.
You haven't quite crossed the Hagar line yet.
Wow. Now I'm going to be thinking about that every year.
Yeah. Look how far away you are from Sammy.
Wow. And I can't wear spandex either. So, yeah, that'd be the other thing. Should never happen.
What about like a surfing bodysuit? Would you do that?
No. Maybe one of those big balloon things that, like, you know, the...
A hot air balloon?
Boxing. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be tight. It would be snug, but I could probably get into one.
I would love to see you go, like, take a surfing lesson and just have the whole wetsuit on. I think you'd look good.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I think my feet would drag on the bottom of the whatever I was in, the river or whatever.
Yes, you surf in the river.
Yeah,
yes, that
head.
Is exactly right. Boy, Taco, he has never left Tennessee, yeah. Has he? He
just... Good point. That's true. Where do you surf?
Who surfs in the river?
Can't wait to go do some river surfing this weekend.
Hey, boys, you want to go get in our wetsuits?
We should tell you that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know. So. I know. Anything else we got to get to as we begin trek through?
I can give you a bus update.
Oh, I love a bus update.
We have an engine installed.
Ooh. How's she doing?
Great. Super great. Oh, yeah, okay. July 4th.
And we've taken some road trips.
July 4th, we got the engine in and fired up for the first time. And then, yeah, I've already put like 2,500 miles on it since then. I was gone for pretty much a whole month. I was gone every weekend on just different trips, taking it places. So, yeah, it's doing great. Glad to have it back. Hope it lasts a lot longer this time. And hopefully I don't miss another Bonnaroo with the bus.
Let me get this straight. Mm-hmm. Let me get this straight. You have taken that bus and put 2,500 miles on it in... 2 months.
Yeah, less than 2 months.
Okay. May I remind you, Chattanooga to New York is 800 miles.
Okay.
If you came here and drove back, you would still have less than 2,500 miles on your bus, and you don't want to come here.
It would take a long time to get to New York.
Yeah, I don't think that bus.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. I mean,
look at all the places you could stop along the way.
Buc-ee's. How many Buc-ee's are between here and New York?
There are no Buc-ee's. I hope to God there are no Buc-ee's.
I went to the world's largest Buc-ee's in Sevierville.
Oh, lucky you.
What'd you buy?
Water.
Nice. Nice.
You know how to live, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. I've bought PBR in every Buc-ee's from here to Texas.
You get the Buc-ee's brand water or you go with the Crystal?
The Buc-ee's brand. You got to get Buc-ee's brand.
Of course. I think
gas station Walmart.
The only thing I would say is we've had some discussions. I think we have a pretty good ideas on how we want to proceed. I can't believe we're going to do this show again for what, year six?
No, I'm going to stop you. It makes me feel something weird inside of me. There is a group of humans on this planet who are obsessed about a gas station. Does that not weird anyone else out other than me? That's fucking strange, guys. That is a weird kink that some people have about a gas station.
It's the world's largest.
Who gives a shit? It's a gas station.
Have you tried the peanuts?
I've been. It's Walmart.
Nuggets?
It's Walmart Dollywood. Have you ever, like, how many more American flags and wicker furniture do I need in a gas station?
You're not wrong. It's.
It is the strangest
exactly
kink. It is the strangest kink for a group of people that. Man, they love them. It's all the same kind of people too. They love America.
It's
they
like mother. Can you believe this? Can you believe mother?
It is. It is. It is for people who start sentences with mother
and papa. Can you believe this? And there's nothing wrong with those people. I know them. But yeah,
it's so strange. It's the strangest thing. Whenever I get like it's been like in the last 5 years, I think that like this has blown up, right? Because I start getting these social media updates and these Instagram stories of people like taking videos of Buc-ee's.
Yeah, well, they are just now coming out of Texas in the last few years. It was like a Texas right. thing for a long time.
Right. The world's right, cleanest right, bathroom right. is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised you're not obsessed with it, Brad. I mean, you love clean stuff.
I do like a clean bathroom. Yeah. I am a crazy person, I know. But I'm not like goo-goo gaga over, you know, a teddy bear wearing the American flag along the way. I just find it to be so strange. What a bizarre world. I can't think of like the last time I saw somebody running around like a Sitgo t-shirt or, you know, BP. You know, no, they love fucking Buc-ee's. It is so strange. Bizarre.
Whatever.
Yeah. All right, anyway, what are you saying about the season?
We have some great ideas. I'm excited about all the guests we have lined up. We're going to talk to several people at Moon River, and we've already got a list of people we want to talk to, including... I'm looking at Rush's t-shirt. We've mentioned before we're going to talk to David Bruce, I Am Bonnaroo, about his program last year at Bonnaroo. And I just want to – it's amazing to me, and I keep saying this the last two or three shows, how much this has grown. I mean, the fact that we have year six for just us, but there are so many things with the group camping – and the programs and the things that people have been doing, not just at Bonnaroo, but all these other festivals, we're not even scratching the surface at how this has grown into a thing. And
I'd rather talk about Buc-ee's. We took up 5 minutes on Buc-ee
Mama
talk.
And Pawpaw. I get it, but I'm excited to see where the next year goes. So that's all.
Yeah,
I'm excited to finally get back down.
Starting season 7 next year,
and I missed you guys.
I don't want to promise an episode every week from now until the end of the year, but that's hopefully we have enough plan. to get through it. I hope so.
We'll give you something. So. Yeah, we're hoping to ramp up the high five clips because we understand not all of you, and I cannot believe it, but you probably haven't listened to every episode, and we've had some great interviews.
They haven't even gotten to this part.
I know.
They haven't even gotten this far.
So we hope to share some of that. So anyway,
okay.
Thanks to everybody for listening. Click share and like and all that stuff, please. And
I want to hear Barry explain to me how to like, share, and review the podcast.
Taco?
I want to hear.
Taco?
you ask me, I guess.
No, I want to hear dad say, come on, Papa. Tell me how to do this, please.
I think it's a thumb. There's a button or something.
There's a thumb. Yes, use the thumb.
go click on that. And then
click on the thumb. Got it.
Click on the thumb right now.
Put in all your friends' names. There you go. See?
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Send it to Mamaw and Papa.
Tell Meemaw and tell Mom and Em. Mom and them.
Okay, good. All right, guys. I glad to see you both. Glad to hear from everyone. And if you want to, drop us a line. The_what_podcast on the social medias as well.
Just
until
Twitter.
Next week.
Just Twitter.
Not on the Instagrams?
It's we don't want to gram it? It's the_what_podcast on Twitter.
Got it. And then
somebody
the what podcast on
the what
on the
podcast,
gram.
Yeah.
Okay. We haven't found them and, you know, choked them to death until they gave us our handle back.
We haven't given them a dollar.
Too bad.
Oh, it's not even Twitter anymore. It's X.
Yeah, I know. I'm so confused. I don't know what's going on. I'm old man on the grass. Stop changing everything. and then on the gram, it's just the What Podcast.
Mm-hmm. On everything else, it's just the What Podcast.
Okay, good. Until next week, we'll see you then. Love you. Bye.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.